Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
The firm of Harris and Meringue. Not ambulance chasing, but plenty of rides in one.
From the hips down, man, it's a disaster.
The firm, Patrick Harris.
And someone crashed their car on the I-5 bridge.
Danny Meringue.
I've had some bad runs.
On the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 and 1080, The Fan.
All right, hour number deuce here, the Portland sports leader. If you missed any of the first hour, you can download that. The Fan Podcast, 1051thefan.com, the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. You can jump on the YouTube channel. Check us out there. If you missed Dirt and Sprague this morning, breaking down this game that we just spent an hour on, you can go ahead and catch them there as well. Primetime back in full force tonight. If you missed that, you can check that on the YouTube as well or the Odyssey app. Rewind, fast forward, except for into the future for that. Would be impossible. We're going to get to some NFL this hour, I promise you that, as there are some big games that, boy, don't really feel like they matter right now, do they, Danny? These NFL games were kind of like, who cares? Don't have time for that. We'll get to you later.
But we'll get to you a little bit later. We got college football.
Yeah, but we will get to them for a little bit this hour. But let's slide over to the Rose Bowl, my favorite tradition in all of sports.
Paul!
You know, SEC fans got to be pretty upset. Honestly, I bet you ESPN is more upset than any of them. They're three thoroughbreds.
You know who's really upset?
Georgia, Bama, and Ohio State are all gone.
Yeah. Notre Dame fans. I have seen so many Notre Dame writers who are like, Alabama should not have been here. It should have been us. I wish Notre Dame was in that spot because the same damn thing would have happened.
Oh, I think Notre Dame would have got dog walked.
They did it. They would have got absolutely mollywopped.
And I think that's some of it. Cignetti, you know, we said this on Wednesday. Cignetti had that great quote of, you know, the name on the jerseys, that's only big to you guys. Yeah. My players only know what they see on tape.
Yeah.
And that should have been the warning sign. That was not, I don't think that was designed to be a shot. I think that was just like a,
no, it was.
Guys, we've watched the tape.
Yeah.
This ain't Saban, Alabama.
No.
There are serious flaws here. Yeah. I was mostly surprised that Ty was as bad as he was. Because it's a little
accurate, but it was just Charlie checkdown. He had nowhere to go with anything.
It was a little Bear Morton in the sense of Indiana's defense was nasty and came at him from the jump.
And without Stephen Daly.
Yes. And they came at him from the jump. But he was not good at all. And they still couldn't run the football. All those things that we said Alabama struggled with just reared their ugly heads from the jump.
Yeah.
We're watching the Oregon-Texas Tech game. It was clear to me early that Texas Tech was not going to be able to score. It was very clear. I'll take it a step further in the Rose Bowl. It was from the jump that Alabama had no business being in that game.
Over.
No business being in that game. I might have rather watched Tulane in that game.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. Have you seen all the funny stuff coming out? Everybody's talking about how G6 teams get blown out. Maybe they don't deserve an automatic bid. Yeah. Well, I don't know. That mid-major Alabama sure looked like they didn't belong. Maybe the SEC doesn't deserve automatic bids. Mm. The SEC took it on the chin this weekend.
Oh, they got smoked.
They took it on the chin this weekend. Their big brands went down and down hard.
Yes.
Yes. Georgia, Ole Miss was a close game, but Chambliss said, hold my beer. Mm-hmm. This thing is over. And Alabama had no business playing in this game from the jump. I was a little worried about Mendoza in the beginning.
Yeah, he ended up playing nearly a perfect game.
With the headset malfunction, and it's kind of like, oh no, it's a big game. We're like patting our helmets here. Yep. Like, it's kind of like that crisis management that we haven't really had to see Indiana deal with this year. And I know that's not really on the field. They would have figured something out. But from the jump in this giant stadium in this huge game, you're playing Alabama in a Rose Bowl. I don't care if you're Indiana new
on
the scene.
Good news is the colors all look the same.
Yeah, I don't care if you're Indiana new on the scene, if you're USC or Notre Dame. I don't care. That's a big game.
Yeah.
And when your headset goes out early, you're not sure what's going on, it'd be really easy to crumble. And Indiana just didn't. They never looked worried. Mendoza
ran the ball down their throat.
And to your point, Mendoza was nearly flawless.
Yes.
That's the Heisman Trophy winner. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't have been my vote. As far as quarterback play, probably the best quarterback play of the year. But I was kind of, you know, I think a lot of people were a little sour on this year's Heisman.
Sure.
Mendoza showed me a lot in that game. Poise, the whole shebang.
They're
going to win the whole thing.
I'll make the comparison.
They're going to win the whole
Alabama
thing.
Alabama is not Texas Tech, so I don't want to do
no,
that.
No, no.
But that's what I'm talking about, the difference between Dante Moore and Mendoza. Mendoza is just going to make plays no matter what. No, he's more experienced.
His first two touchdowns were excellent. That first touchdown was a brilliant throw.
Yeah, I mean, again.
Only that receiver could catch that ball.
Dante is capable of making those throws. The tools are there. Dante's a more talented quarterback than mm-hmm. Fernando Mendoza.
Tools? Yeah, without a doubt.
It's not even close to me. But it's the processing, it's the IQ, it's the decision making. All like Mendoza,
some of that comes with age and experience.
But that's exactly what I'm saying. It's to your point of like Dante coming back, that would be, I think, great for his development.
I don't think Mendoza needs to come back.
No, I mean he's
ready.
He's gone.
He's like, ready.
But Indiana's now done this a couple times where they've been. Everybody talks about Mendoza and Surratt and Omar Cooper Jr. in that passing game. Mm-hmm. What gets lost in this is they can run the ball.
Offensive line is nice.
And remember going into the Oregon game, like, oh, you know, that right tackle, that's where the weakness is at. That's where the weakness is at. Really, because they smacked Oregon in the face, they smacked Ohio State in the face, and then they smacked Alabama in the face, and they ran the ball down their freaking throats.
Look, I know this Alabama team is not what we're used to, but what they did against Ohio State, what they did against Oregon was impressive. Mm-hmm. This was a bloodbath.
Oh, this was a sacrifice.
Yeah, as you like to say, a snuff film.
No, it was. I mean, this you throw the NC-17 rating on this because not only offensively did they run the ball down their throat, defensively they just blew them up. Alabama, look, we all know they can't run the ball, but they could not run the ball at all. It was a yard a carry.
And I've said this repeatedly, excuse me, I've said this repeatedly, and I think you agree with me. I am so over the rhetoric of Indiana's such a great story, and who would have ever thought Indiana would be, I'm over this. I'm so over it.
We could do that last year.
Because in college football, look, if NVIDIA Bro decides to donate $500 million to Oregon State football, guess who's in a natty next year? Like, this can happen for anybody. Sure, it's weird. Sure, as diehard college football fans aren't used to seeing Indiana. And Indiana fans are like, this is insane. Mm-hmm. I can't believe, yes, I agree with all that. But from a non-fan that watches the sport, this shouldn't surprise you that a team a la Indiana can do this. What I would like to thank Indiana, and maybe part of why this narrative is so big, thank you for telling the SEC to get blanked.
Yeah.
Because it feels like this was personal for them. And not
Sankey's got to go home.
Not against Alabama per se, but against the SEC, against that BS rhetoric that
remember
I'm tired
they
of hearing.
Needed
Seven or eight. Tennessee, how many wins does Tennessee have over teams over 500? That would be this many.
Zero.
Did they lose to a Big Ten team in a bowl game?
They sure did.
Oh, weird.
An Illinois team who is what, the seventh best team in the Big Ten? Sixth, maybe? So.
What happened to Vandy?
Vandy got walked, just shown the door by Iowa. There's a late touchdown that makes that game look closer than it was, but Pavia had a nightmare
day.
He
got stuffed in a locker.
I think Indiana took this game personally. I don't think they love that Desmond Howard and Nick Saban both picked Alabama. By the way, I think Desmond Howard was 0-for-4 on the weekend. Yeah. He picked Tech, he picked Ohio State, he picked Bama, and I think he picked Georgia.
I went 3-for-4 with Tech Oregon.
I love Desmond Howard. I like what he does on the show, but rough day for you, bud. And of course Saban's taking Bama.
Of course.
But I feel like, and I'm sure they didn't know that because that happened right before the game, but I feel like Indiana also said, I'm tired of this rhetoric. And not only are we going to beat Alabama, but we are going to put our foot on their throats and curb stomp them. And they did.
So I think in terms of kind of tangential to Indiana being tired of the rhetoric and coming out, I wonder if, and with Bama being gone and Georgia being gone and all of your traditional blue bloods being gone, what percentage of not necessarily people or fans, but like pundits and whatnot, do you think will put a little bit of an asterisk on this year's championship because you don't have one of your traditional blue bloods, your Bama, your Georgia?
Anyone who's SEC adjacent will 100% do it.
Oh, like, they will try, without a doubt.
Is this going to be like an NBA bubble championship type asterisk because you don't have your typical big guys?
Look, I'll tell you right now, what I want to see unabashedly is Indiana Ole Miss. Mm-hmm. Because it's too out of nowhere. Ole Miss hasn't been good since the 60s. Indiana's never been good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not to beat the drum on the story, Indiana is one of the worst programs in major college football history.
Yes. Over the last 50 years, without a doubt.
You can say last 100 years. Yeah. Since the beginning of the sport, yeah. They are one of the worst programs in the history of the sport. So for them to be where they are, it is unreal. In 2 years, what Cignetti has done there is absolutely bat-ass bonkers.
On the text line, Indiana's the 70th best talented roster in college football. It isn't a roster that's NIL purchased. It's very weird that they're so good.
It is, in a sense, because they've spent a crap ton of money around the program. Mm-hmm. And I'll mention this again. I was texting with Dave Bartu a couple weeks ago. Talk to me about Indiana, man. You know, for those that don't know, Dave Bartu is College Football Matrix, does the coaching searches and hires and all those kind of things, but also has all of the data basically in college football history, in modern college football. Mm-hmm. He told me Kurt Cignetti, by the numbers, has done the best coaching job in college football in his database this year. Ever. Yeah. Anyone.
Sunrise guys this morning said it's the greatest coaching performance in history.
In sports.
Yes.
Like, again, when you talk about the one of the straightest lines you can draw in sports is spending money in baseball, spending money in college football.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to spending money, that translates to 4- and 5-star talent.
Mm-hmm.
Indiana's roster, they're nowhere near.
Right.
Like,
but I think you can't discount how much of his James Madison kids and staff that he yes. brought with them. And sometimes it's
they develop
more about
those guys.
Sometimes it's more about those X's and O's than the Jimmys and Joes.
You have the same kids for 4 years.
And they know that
different
system.
Different schools, but 4 years.
Yeah. Then they know that system. The coaches that he brought with them.
But he also brought over guys like D'Angelo Ponce, who was, I believe, a 3-star corner, who's very likely going to be the second corner drafted. Mm-hmm. Like, it's development. That's the thing that they have nailed. And Sig has hit the right button at the right time every single freaking time.
In the words of Steve Ballmer, developers.
I will say this about Cignetti, and I think what makes this Indiana team so great, I liken it a little bit to Dan Lanning in a different sense. This is something that Ryan Day, Kirby, Lane's going to have to show this. Lincoln Riley's going to have to show this. And DeBoer is going to need to do better about this. They all have great recruiting classes. The players they are bringing in on paper, whether it's Georgia, Notre Dame, Ohio State, USC, whatever, yeah. The players they're bringing in on paper are phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
But what Lanning does really well and what Cignetti is writing the book on is bringing in the right players.
The ones that fits. Yep.
The fits. And this might not be a $60 million roster. What was the joke I was making? The best team money can buy against Oregon? Mm-hmm. That was Texas Tech. They bought a very, very good team. Mm-hmm. And they got all the right guys on defense. They didn't take care of the offense. Kalen DeBoer's in that situation right now
at
Alabama.
There's another team, though.
Lincoln Riley's going to feel that pressure. James Franklin got fired for it. Dan Lanning has done this really, really well. I don't need you to be Fernando Mendoza. I need you to be Dante Moore. I need you to be Bear Alexander. I don't need you to be Bailey. You know, I need you to be the guy for my team. And Sig, that's what he's done. He has brought in the Mendoza because I want a quarterback like that. I want a right tackle like that. Mm-hmm. And he's done that brilliantly, and it was on display against Alabama.
And where we'll probably go here with the next game, Cristobal has done that at Miami.
Without a doubt. Without
a doubt.
We
can talk about all we want, and we will, about Beck and how productive or unproductive he is. Last year, that team couldn't stop anybody. This year, their offense is a little limited, but that defense is nasty.
We'll slide over to the NFL for a little bit. We'll get back to some college football in the big nooner. Hey, enter to win a 4-pack of tickets to the 66th annual Portland Boat Show Thursday, January 7th through Sunday, the 11th. Check out the best prices, top brands, and compare hundreds of boats to buy all under one roof at the Portland Expo Center. Enter now at 1051thefan.com or grab 2-for-1 discount coupons at pdxboatshow.com. When we come back, who would like to win the division? Boy, I don't know. Can we get fired up for these games? We'll slide a little NFL next. 105.1 The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
You know, you can't count on much, but you can't always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount+. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday
all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. That might be.
That's the last time we'll be doing that, Reed.
Pull the curtain back so you can see what's going on around here. That might be it, my friends.
I think that might be it.
That might be it, my friends. Mm. I'm sure I'll hear Jim Nantz say it this weekend.
18 weeks later, last time we do it.
I'm so old school. Sprague gives me S about this all the time. I'm so old school. I don't even have that memorized. I just read it off the paper.
Wow.
I love the papers, man. I got all my stuff right here.
Look, there's a handful of
update. Man.
There's a handful of update reads here that I've done for probably years that I still basically have to read off the sheet.
Yeah, hurt and missing work, insurance companies acting. You know, I know all those lines, but I'm still going to read it.
Still got it on my page.
Still got it on my page. I don't know how to watch these games, if I'm being honest. Like,
well, Paramount Plus.
I will watch these games because that's nice. I like that.
Step into a Slim Jim.
They are high stakes games. I'm talking about Ravens, Steelers, and Panthers, Bucks.
They're high stakes in the sense of their playoff spots on the line, but they don't matter.
They really don't to me. Like, does anybody think of these four teams fighting for a playoff spot, getting to host a division game in the playoffs? Does anybody think any of these four teams are going to win a playoff game?
No.
You have to take one, Danny.
No, you don't have to.
Who are you going to? You have to. I put a gun to your head. You choose the bullet.
Yeah. Honestly, I don't know if you guys caught this the other day. Schefter was on with McAfee, and they were talking about the Bucks, and they were like, man, what is going on? They're finally starting to get healthy. Schefter dropped this little thing, and he doesn't ever say anything publicly without...
No, he is the shield.
And he goes, you know, I just have this suspicion at the end of the year we're going to find out Baker's been playing hurt. And I'm like, oh, you mean his AC joint and his shoulder's completely fried? Yeah, dog.
How many times I've seen him land on that shoulder this year? Ugh.
Yeah, we were all like, hey, is Baker done? Remember when he hit the ground and he went to the sideline? We were all like, that didn't look good, dog.
And he still came out and like threw two picks afterwards. You're like, I wonder why.
And he's underthrown the ball a handful of times. Where he's like, yeah, he's probably playing with a separated shoulder or a sprained AC joint. And it turns out his arm's not working.
And we're big.
He did the exact same thing in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm. We're big Baker guys on this show. We love the redemption story, and he's actually just a really damn good quarterback now. I also think that, you know, certain players in certain sports love to share their injuries. You know, I feel like wide receivers love to tell you they're playing hurt. And, you know, pitchers love to tell you, I've been dealing with some elbow soreness. Yeah. And you're like, well, don't tell me that. But there are quarterbacks, especially in redemption stories, that I feel get very... protective of themselves. And Baker strikes me as that guy. Like, hey man, the world's changed their opinion on me. I'm playing a lot better. I'm going to shut up and play. The last thing I want people to think is that I'm using excuses.
And, you know, there's a quarterback in the other game that's dealing with that in Lamar Jackson.
Yep. And the world won't shut up about his injuries.
No.
They won't. I am not a Marcus Spears guy. He went on a giant diatribe.
That whole thing.
I hated it.
I wanted to just...
It woke me
Marcus,
up from a nap.
Shut up.
I know. I did not like
it. I'm not going to sit here and... Shut up, Marcus.
Nobody... I don't really know, other than this national narrative, who's banging on Lamar for being hurt.
Did you not see the article that came out?
Maybe not.
Oh, yeah. No, there was a piece that came out about them not trusting Lamar Jackson in the locker room. And I'm telling you right now, those stories, no matter what sport it is... Don't come out unless it's real. 100%.
You would hope
those stories do not come out unless it's real.
That would be a rough thing to say if that wasn't true. I get it on some national Sunday afternoon show.
Remember the Russell Wilson stuff? It was like, oh, no, it's not. No.
That ended up being true.
And then every last bit of it was true.
I mean, the Seattle stuff, nobody wanted to believe. The Denver stuff, people were kind of like, that's strange. Two places in once. I think people just don't like Russ and are willing to make things up. And then it's like, oh. Well,
then they had that whole piece about him having his whole office.
Well, Sean Payton blew it up.
Yeah. And it was this, you know, the whole thing about
it took somebody with real pedigree to blow it up. Sean Payton might be an ass, but he's got a pedigree that I'm going to listen to what he has
to
say.
Like, I've been in locker rooms for years. I hear stuff all the time.
Yeah.
But when trust breaks, that's different. Like the ebb and flow of a season, guys. Like people, I don't think people realize how many times there's like fights at practice.
Mm-hmm.
It happens all the time.
Yeah, just because there's a video of Draymond punching Jordan Poole doesn't mean it doesn't happen.
Yeah, it's like, yeah guys, like when you're like, just think about this real quick. I'll compare it to the military. When you're around the same dudes all the time, doing the same stuff the time, and you're going through it, you've got stuff in your personal life, and there's guys maybe you play with, but you're not best friends with, or there's guys you just genuinely don't like, but you find a way to come together. Like every title team, if you think all 15 of those guys like love each other,
you're out of your mind.
Crazy.
Yeah.
The rare circumstances, Damon Stoudemire came to town for the 99-2009, and he was like, what made us good was that we were all that close.
J-Dub and Chet and SGA say that about Caruso, says that all the
time
about
the
Thunder. Those
are the exceptions.
Yeah, and like, that's greatness.
That's what that leads to.
But you think Steph has to deal with Draymond? Sure he does.
Oh,
you think Mike
said in the press conference, he got tired. Mike punched Steve Kerr.
And Mike had to deal with Rodman, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you like, this stuff happens, but like, there's the story was basically, you know, Lamar has, you know, maybe feeling himself, wins a couple MVPs, but
got the bag.
His S don't stink. And, got the bag. You know, yeah, dog. I mean, look.
But also, Lamar's S don't stink.
But the flip side of this is, I don't like this, and I've mentioned this so many times. If there's ever one thing I could go back in my minuscule media career, if I could do one thing, it was to not know who guys actually are.
Mm-hmm. Never meet your heroes, kids.
Because I'm telling you, the staggering majority of them are just D-bags.
Yeah.
So, to be honest, I'm going to sound like a homer here. The Blazers and what they've done, the front office over the last couple years, the guys they brought in are good dudes.
Trying not to bring in bags, yeah.
Yes.
Jrue Holiday kind of cemented that.
I mean,
you
Drew's
know?
An incredible, like, I've said this so many times.
But Jrue is
if you
great-
don't like Jrue, it says more about you than it does about him. Like, that's a real thing. And, like, when you're talking about an NFL roster and you've got 50-plus guys, mm-hmm. look, man, there's a...
I think that's why a lot of Blazer fans had problems with Myers Leonard and Zach Collins. I don't know if they are this behind the scenes. Yeah. I'm not saying that, but they would have mannerisms on the court mm-hmm. and off the court that made them look disinterested, not invested, pissed off or something.
I'll tell you right now, Myers is at Dame's wedding.
Oh, I know. Yeah, I mean, like, oh, I know. But there are some perceptions.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Based on how guys' just natural demeanors are. Mm-hmm. And I think you're right about this Blazer team, that there are no guys that you see that are kind of like, that guy might be a douchebag behind the scenes. No, whether you're right or wrong.
Like, even a DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre's immature.
He's pretty goofy these days, like, now that he's been on L.A.
But, I mean, like, just he's not an inherently bad dude. You know what I mean? In the NFL...
But I guess
I will tell you this. In the NFL, there are a lot of inherently bad dudes.
We don't see that from Lamar. We don't see just like the happy, jovial. I mean, Aaron is the unequivocal poster child of this. Aaron is mad at everybody.
Oh, yeah.
At all times. And some of that's competitive. Mm-hmm. Some of that is just the juice it takes to be a quarterback.
You're talking about
to be the
A1 type testosterone high T dudes.
But then there's other times where you're kind of like, man. Yeah, when he's looking back at the offensive coordinator saying, shut up. Yeah. I know what I'm doing here. Like, dude, have that convo when you get off the field. You don't need to show that to the world. And I wonder if that's where we are with Lamar, that he has never been a warm and fuzzy guy.
No.
So maybe we are either jumping to conclusions or now there are reports that there's some factual evidence behind it.
Look, I don't think Lamar's a bad dude.
Oh, I don't think he's a bad dude either. And I kind of live in a world where I owe Lamar something. I was on that I'm anti-Lamar.
Oh, okay.
Didn't think he could throw the football. Thought a great athlete, great runner. Did not think he could be an elite passer of the football.
Need to switch to wide receiver?
And I don't know about that, but I was just kind of like, you're going to need to Jalen Hurts this guy to be successful. He's not going to quarterback you. And I was so wrong.
I wasn't there with you, but I was closer to you than like to what he is now.
And
I get what you're saying.
And I am so wrong that I feel I almost need to be apologetic to Lamar because his talent is that good.
Yes.
And I was that wrong. So maybe I want to give him the benefit that he's not a D. But I mean, when facts pile up, you know, I haven't read this article you're speaking of. I'm going to go home and read it tonight. If that's the case, that's troublesome for me.
Yeah.
And that's probably why maybe it's time for Harbaugh to go. Maybe it's time to retool this whole thing and shuffle the deck a little
bit.
Or are
you in
Ravens.
This game and it all goes under the, you know, it's a bridge under the water.
Maybe this is why Michael McDonald.
Bridge under the water. Water under the bridge. God dang it.
Maybe this is why Mike McDonald goes to Seattle and doesn't want to hang around there anymore. You know, things like that. Yeah. Turnover. We'll see. Quickly, I will take the Steelers in this game. I don't love it, but I'll take the Steelers.
Yeah, I'll take the Steelers.
Game. And I'm going to take the Panthers. I think there are more issues in Tampa than Baker potentially being hurt. I think Todd Bowles is ready to get out of there.
Yeah,
and they might be ready to get rid of Todd Bowles. I think Tampa is a reset.
Yeah.
You have pieces.
For sure.
You have great playmaking pieces.
You're better off than Miami.
You're better off than Miami, but there might be some culture issues in that locker room. And Tomlin saves his job once again. If there's a team in here that I think can win a game, give me the Steelers.
Just because they
going to Pittsburgh is going to suck.
You've got Tomlin. Mm-hmm. Rodgers might have magic still.
Yep. To where I'm worried about Tampa and nobody believes in Carolina but me. Yeah.
And the Ravens are just...
And if Carolina gets the Rams, the Seahawks, or the Niners, bye. When we come back, let's get to the game of the NFL for the weekend. That's the Seahawks and the Niners for the number one seed for it all. Boy, if college football gave me a dandy, I can't wait for tomorrow. God, I can't wait for this game tomorrow. We'll do that next. There, that's the Kahuna with sports.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Coming up next is Web Gems. Thank you for joining us today on this Friday. Hope our 2026 gets going in a positive light for you all out there. Congratulations to the Oregon Ducks. We'll get back to college football and the big nooner, but let's wrap up some of this NFL weekend. Boy, the NFL, they kind of gave us a nice thing on Saturday. There's only two games on Saturday. There's no college football, so that, you know, removes that narrative, although I love Lanning calling out the NFL. Maybe we'll play that audio next week. I kind of enjoyed that. But the two games we get tomorrow are Carolina-Tampa Bay and Seattle-San Francisco for the number one seed and home round, home playoff bound for the rest of the playoffs. The last time they played was what, week one of the season, if I'm not mistaken? Sam had that bad, what was it? I can't remember. Was it a fumble or an interception at the end of that game? The right tackle got absolutely destroyed by Bosa. And Abe Lucas got destroyed by Bosa and caused Sam to basically turn the ball over there, if my memory serves me correct. These teams are very different teams now for a myriad of different reasons. Seattle has truly found their identity in Michael McDonald with that defense being just filthy. Sam has... at times looked like an elite level quarterback and at times been a turnover kind of guy. But Seattle wins sometimes in spite of Sam, whether he's playing well or not.
I mean, you take away the 4 interception game and he's got 10 picks on the season.
That's not bad. It's really not.
He's got 25 touchdowns, 10 picks through for, he's at 38-50 right now. You think he's going to throw for 150 yards?
Yes.
So he's going to throw for 4,000 yards, probably 27 touchdowns. Yeah.
And there are games in which the Seahawks have played inferior teams and absolutely blown them out. Absolutely blown them out. Flip over to the San Francisco 49ers. I can't believe if I told you the Niners had another injury-riddled season and it wasn't Christian McCaffrey, that would kind of shock me. He's having one of the best years of a running back ever in the history when you're talking total yards.
He's their leading rusher and receiver.
Yep, and Brock Purdy has really come alive since coming back from the injury. But like I've said all year, with how well Mac Jones played in his stead, Kyle Shanahan is putting in one for the books. This is maybe the best Shanahan coaching year I've ever seen. For my money, he's the NFL Coach of the Year. And that's where San Francisco becomes scary. On paper, Seahawks all day.
Do you want to do the thing where it's more impressive because he's done it with the injuries, or it's more impressive for Vrabel to do it with such a young team?
Say this again, I'm sorry.
Coach of the Year. Is it more impressive for Shanahan to do this for the 49ers with all the injuries, but all of that talent?
Sure.
Or is it more impressive for Vrabel to do it with such a young team? Because that's I think if you're down right now probably to 3 coaches. It's probably McDaniel, Shanahan, and Vrabel.
Mike McDaniel in Miami?
McDonald. Sorry.
McDonald, Shanahan.
Too many mix.
Watch out. We're Irish boys. We can say that.
I can say it.
Now I forgot. Yeah. Appropriation. I forgot. We can do that. The Vrabel one is tough. It's tough.
You know what I mean? Like, it's...
Yeah.
Coach of the Year this year is actually going to be very difficult.
Yeah, it's tough because I don't think we expected Drake May to pop like this, but he has popped.
He's popped.
And somebody needs to get credit for that, whether it's Josh McDaniels or just the new culture that Vrabel brought in by, you know, essentially the old culture. I think I give it to Shanahan because he lost his starting quarterback. Is Brock Purdy better than Drake May?
No.
Boom. And he lost Brock Purdy for 5 weeks mm-hmm. and was able to keep the ship right. And he's fighting for a number one seed. Mm-hmm. I think it's Shanahan.
And he lost probably the best linebacker in football.
Lost Fred Warner, lost Bosa. No. His receiving core is a nightmare. You know, Debo's gone.
Last week was the first time all season that another wide receiver caught a touchdown pass.
But Brandon Ayuk has been a giant headache. Yep. Juwan Jennings, like, I want to know, what is Juwan Jennings telling people?
He's a hoe.
You know, like, there's a lot of dysfunction and kind of chaos in that receiver room that Shanahan has been able to maneuver that I don't know. It's Phil Jackson-esque.
Yes.
You know, of dealing with the egos. Mm-hmm. And Brock continues to take steps. I like Brock.
I do, too.
I like Brock more than I think the national narrative wants to tell me.
I like him more than, like, Jalen Hurts.
Without a doubt. I do, sure. too. But the fact that they were still winning games and still continuing with Mac Jones
in there. Shanahan.
Now, Mac had to put his body on the line every single week to make that happen. But I think Shanahan's scheme and the culture there has really got them going. I love what Shanahan's done. That being said, I like the Seahawks in this game. I have to ride my Hawks.
I mean, so does Vegas.
I'm not a Seahawk fan, but I picked them to win the division at the mm-hmm. beginning of this year, and I think I was kind of laughed at. Not by you, but
no.
I think in general that would be a very silly pick.
Sure.
And I, A, want to be right, but B, I still believe it.
I mean, I said spin the chamber. There's three teams that can win this division. I don't know.
How long have we been saying the Rams are the best team in the NFL? And Sam Darnold has six interceptions against the Rams.
And he's 1-1.
A 2-point loss and a win.
Yeah.
Like,
in this game,
with a missed field goal at the end, by the way.
In this game, Niners are favored by 1. All the analytics.
Only because it's in San Francisco.
That's the thing is, so that means neutral site. This is Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
Analytics have it 50.9 to 48.7, which is weird because that leaves margin for error. That's not
a tie.
I guess they're leaving. There is.
Could we say that we're actually giving almost a full over a full percentage chance of a tie in this game?
What the hell is that? Yeah, you're right. There is.
The math ain't mathin'.
Yeah, I just looked at that. I'm like, wait a second. There's a piece of that pie missing.
I wonder if the clock will strike a little bit for the Niners. Look, they're going to the playoffs, and you're not going to want to play them. The NFC is going to be one of these three teams in the West.
Yeah.
I truly believe the Super Bowl representative of the NFC will be one of these three West teams. It all depends on how it plays out. It all depends on who gets what and where.
And if you're the Niners, it's a home game.
Mm-hmm.
Super Bowl's in San Fran.
Super Bowl's in San Fran. You win the one seed, you don't travel. You sleep in your bed
That's
every night.
That's pretty dope. So if there's a reason, like that this is a standalone Saturday game.
Thank you. I kind of wanted it to be the Sunday night game.
Sure, but.
Yeah, if Steelers would have won last week, this would be the Sunday night game. But we'll take it. I think that Seahawk defense will come to play, and I think Sam's got a lot to prove, and I think he'll do it. He's got to. This is a ghost game.
It's exactly a ghost game. That's literally what I was just going to call it. Can he do it? Can he do it? Because if he can, I don't want to say it's a make or break for the Seahawks in the postseason, but if Sam does it here with the pressure on, because he's just had so few pressure games in his career.
And
he played for a dog-ass organizations, and now he's in this position where there's a lot on the line, number one seed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the road goes through you kind of a deal, right? And so if you have that, and he goes out and performs, it's not just what it means for them, like, actually, but it's more esoteric in the sense of, like, the confidence that the team has in him. Because I guarantee there's somebody in that locker room that if he goes out there and sees ghosts, he thinks Minnesota last year.
Yep.
He's got a teammate going, man.
I don't know if this is the guy.
I don't know, man.
And this is probably a fault of my own in my own fandom and my own way of watching sports is I always want to believe that someone will flip the narrative from a negative to a positive. And I'll never root for someone to flip from a positive to a negative.
No.
Now, that just could be Patrick Harris as a half glass cold kind of guy.
We love redemption stories, but we didn't want to see Diego Pavia turn into a douchebag.
No, and I don't want to see Sam throw two picks and lose this game. Now, I don't need the Niners or need the Hawks to win.
Fight on.
I'm not rooting for the Seahawks. I think they will win. They're not my team.
No.
I'm not anti-49ers.
I am.
But I kind of want to see Sam flip that script.
Yeah,
I think he's a very good quarterback. I think we have to remember, especially going into the draft.
It's a high pedigree quarterback, man.
When we go into this draft, whether you're a Dante Moore fan, a Fernando Mendoza fan, a Ty Simpson fan, or even down the line to a Beck
or if you're like me, you're not a fan of any of them.
Right, right. It's all about situation.
Yep.
And Sam was never going to succeed in New York.
No.
He was never going to succeed in Carolina.
No.
And KOC in Minnesota was like, this kid's good. Let me show you.
What it looks like when he's not running for his life.
And McDonald and his staff has been able to do that in Seattle, and I want to see him pull.
And remember, when Seattle brought him in, it was like, really? That's the move you're going to make, huh?
And some cleanup duty here. I was wrong. Brock Purdy was out for 8 weeks.
There you go.
So that again, I'm gonna hammer on the Shanahan.
Yeah.
I love what he did.
I'm with you. I'm just when you're looking at the Coach of the Year finalists, I think those are probably your guys.
Yeah,
right?
You're probably right. Yeah. Let me quickly go.
Do you want to put McVay in there?
Liam Cohen?
Yeah. There's no shortage to choose from this year.
Stefanski was running away with this for a while. if Shanahan wins this game, there might be some juju around the Niners. Mm-hmm. There might be some manifest destiny.
Yeah. It'd be funny if this was the team that did it.
Right? The least talented team that did it.
And banged up like this. Mm-hmm. Because again, this team was beat to hell last year.
And somehow Fred Warner might be back in the playoffs.
I'll believe that when I see it.
Right there. But I also didn't believe that about Mike Evans.
Yeah. Well.
All right. When we come back, let's get into Web Gems. We'll take a little break from football. This guy is right. But you? Come on, baby. I don't know if it's you that needs to be saying that. That's Danny. I'm Patrick. 105.1 The Fan.
Sometimes it's good.
Aw, I've interrupted happy time.
Sometimes it's bad.
Ow, son of a...
It's Web Gems.
What'd you do?
The firm of Harris and Marang on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080 The Fan.
This is everybody's favorite, Web Gems. My bad, talking to the brand man there.
At least you beat the end of the music, man.
A little late to that, so I apologize. This is Web Gems. Do it every single day at 11:45. Sorry, Rusty. Coming up in the big nooner, we were right about this team, and we'll bury another team for funsies. We'll also get into the best performance of college football playoffs so far. Has to be this kid.
All-timer.
An all-timer. We were talking about this before the show. I think this is the best performance in a college football playoff natty that I've seen since.
Yeah.
I'll fill in the blank there. And then we'll kind of talk about the playoff landscape from here going forward as we're into the Final Four. So a lot more college football to get to in the big nooner. But I wanted to take some time, Danny. You and I both love college basketball, correct?
Indeed.
We love college basketball.
Sorry, the nose is not quite working. I was realizing, do I need to clear my nose before I talk right now? I'm still battling they told me, as it starts to heal, you're going to have these moments where it feels like it doesn't work. Super fun.
There has been a lot of chatter around college basketball these days, as there is a player from the G League who is trying to play college basketball because he has never played in the NBA. There are ideas of two-way players.
First-round draft pick.
Two-way players trying to go play in college basketball again. Different rules for Americans versus Europeans when it comes to playing in the NBA. And, once again, there are a lot of issues in college football that'd be resolved if there was a commissioner of some sort, somebody you could actually believe in. And college basketball is kind of going through it right now. I don't think it gets the kind of coverage that it should because people don't love college basketball like you and I do. It feels a little more niche to the national people. They love the tournament, just like you love the World Cup, but you don't want to watch qualifying.
No.
You don't want to watch the African Cup of Nations to find out if any of these teams are great. You don't want to watch the SEC tournament to see if the SEC is smelling their own farts or if they, in fact, have 12 teams that should go to the tournament. Mm-hmm. So it's a little easy to landscape over, but college basketball is at a point right now where they really need to solidify some stuff. And John Calipari, one of the faces of college basketball, mm-hmm. whether you like it or not, had this to say. I'll play some audio for you. And I find him to be correct on this. The problem is it's Calipari.
Real simple. The rules bees the rules. So if you put your name in the draft, I don't care if you're from Russia and you stay in the draft, you can't play college basketball. Well, that's only for American kids. What? If your name is in that draft and you got drafted, you can't play because that's our rule. Yeah, but that's only for American kids. Okay. Okay. Now, here's the next lawsuit. Well, we don't have a say over European players. You do if they're playing in college basketball. So that means you don't have a say over high school kids. So whatever a high school kid does before he comes here, don't you do one thing, because there's a suit. Because what you're saying is, if he's in Europe, we don't have the same rules. What? If he puts his name in the draft, he can't go to college. He left his name in. Well, that's different because he's European. Okay, you're not doing anything with a high school player then. We don't have any jurisdiction over a high school player, do we? We don't. So when they come, you just got to say, all right, now they're here.
That's John Calipari, and this is kind of off the – he's been on a little bit of a tirade of late. I think it was a week or two ago he kind of came out and was bitching about, if a player transfers four times and doesn't have a degree, what are we doing here? He's not wrong about all this. The problem is it's John. The problem is, bro, you created the one and done.
Yes.
You kind of put us in this NIL mess to begin with. You are one of, if not the ultimate bag man in all of college sports, not just basketball.
The originator of the college basketball bag – is Wooden.
Yes, yes, of course.
That is the, for anybody who is unclear about that,
great
Wooden
coach
at UCLA, does not take away from his greatness, is the originator of the bag in college basketball.
Revolutionized the sport from a coaching standpoint, from a player standpoint,
yes.
Exactly, but definitely paid for players.
You want to talk about the next guys on that list? It is Coach Cal, it is Rick Pitino, and Mike Krzyzewski. Those are the three, and you want to add Tom Izzo to that list.
And I'll throw in Roy Will and Bill Self.
Those three, Pitino, Cal, Kay, those are the bag men of college basketball.
Coach Calipari, need I remind you that there are multiple stops that you are not recognized as the head coach
yes.
at? Like UMass, busted. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Memphis, I say this all the time. Mario Chalmers hit a game-winning shot in overtime to win a national championship for Kansas against nobody who happened to have the number one overall pick in the
draft.
Derrick
Rose was
too
dumb
college.
To go to college. loved him as a player, but look, man, it's just period point blank, educationally, not good.
But but what I will defend Cal on is, A, he's right. There needs to be rules that are set for everybody. And I get it. If there are, like, I don't want to call them, they're not antitrust laws, but I'm going to use that word as
that's
a filler.
That's what they want.
Because, yes, there are rules in Europe, laws in Europe mm-hmm. that do not apply to Americans and vice versa. But he's right that college basketball governs itself. So whether you're from the moon or you're from, you know, Illinois, if you want to play college ball, there's the same rules you got to play by.
Here's the thing, though. Taking this a step further, Charlie Baker, you know, leading the NCAA.
Jump a cliff.
He got out there and said, you know, we've won the majority of our cases in the courts.
Numbers-wise, sure.
Sure, but you're talking about cases for, like, guys that are trying to get their ninth year of eligibility.
Yeah.
Every case that you've taken, every landmark case that you've taken, you have gotten bent over and absolutely reamed, folded like a lawn chair, stuffed in a suitcase, with a chain wrapped around in 100-pound weights and dumped out in the ocean to be never seen again.
Your numbers of cases wins might be astronomical, but the ones you've lost have been the most revolutionary in college sports.
And even Cal
history.
Said that. You go to the next lawsuit.
You lost one case. That case opened the door to pay players.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing to happen in college sports since the birth of college
sports.
We
shouldn't do it because we rest our case.
Now, I will say, Calipari and even Pitino to an extent, as they are aging and kind of in the twilights of their career, I think they are going out trying to fight for college basketball. They might have realized that their sins were a little irreparable damage.
Remind me again, the two universities that they're at right now, have they been powers recently?
Arkansas and St. John's? turned them around real quickly.
Weird how that worked.
Well, you can go in the front door now and not the back door. And those guys were always, I was questioning whether Cal would do a good job at Arkansas. And I'm such an idiot for that.
Never for a split second did I question whether or not Arkansas was going to be a good basketball program.
Hey, Oregon State, is your program in basketball kind of a scary place right now with Wayne Tinkle? Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. It is a very scary place. That Elite Eight run was real cool.
I'll tell you right now, if Coach Cal ended up at Oregon State next year, Oregon State would be an NCAA tournament team.
And in 3 years, you might be in a Final Four.
Yes.
Because Cal is just that good, and I feel like an idiot for ever thinking he wouldn't have done well at Arkansas. I like the idea that they are trying to help college ball on their way out. Because I'll tell you what, I like Kay a lot, and what Duke's done for college basketball is great. Having a villain, that rivalry with North Carolina, the amount of pros you put in who are now coaches, whether in the college level or the NCAA level or the NBA level, Coach K did a lot. But he stepped away from the game a little bit like Saban in the sense
of, he knew what was coming.
I know what's coming, and I don't know if I want to be a part
of this. But he got his guy ready.
He did. But K didn't
Now, he's still, for those that don't know, Coach K still has an office at Duke.
But K didn't do anything on his way out to help college basketball. No. He helped Duke.
He went out quietly, but he also went out because North Carolina stuffed him out.
It feels a little like Patino and Cal are trying to be redemption stories.
There's a little bit of that. And here's the thing. I love Cal, and I love Patino.
And I've been more of a Patino guy than a Cal guy because
I am too.
Sometimes Cal's coaching I question to where I've never questioned Patino's coaching. A jerk, but I've never questioned his coaching.
No, and the thing is, like, you know, people are like, oh, it's bad for college. But look, I'm a USC guy. Like, yeah, everybody broke the rules. We got caught. Mm-hmm. Sucks.
Yep.
And we got hammered harder than anybody other than SMU.
What do I say in sports all the time? Everybody's cheating. Just don't get caught. Yeah. Astros.
Yeah, they go. But there's part of me, not even part of me, most of me is sitting here saying, you know what? You took advantage of players for 50 years, man. I'm tired of it.
Mm-hmm.
This is the ramifications. You are reaping what you sowed for a half century.
The texter puts this best. This is like the computer hacker that gets hired by the FBI to help fix the problem they benefited
from. Yes.
Perfect. Spot on.
It's what's his name? Catch Me If You Can, Frank Abagnale.
Yep.
Ended up working for the Treasury, or not the Secret Service, because he was better at it than anybody else.
Yep.
It's like, yeah, dog.
Can't beat him, join him.
But it's also, Cal can't be the one whining.
No, it can't come from Cal. That's the problem.
But it also, it has to come from somebody with tenure. And guess what? Everybody with tenure was successful. Why are they successful? Why? Because they manipulated the system. That's what happened.
And maybe the only guy in college basketball that's a current head coach that it could come from that you would let skate by is maybe Izzo?
No.
I might. I mean, I know Izzo's just as dirty as they all are, but Izzo, I think, has
more likable, has
a cleaner reputation
than
a lot of those. Bill Self can't be Bill Self.
No.
But the other problem is even if it were like a Mark Few at GU, okay?
I'll tell you
the
right
problem
now.
is Mark Few's never won anything.
Also,
that's the problem.
Not only that, Mark Few, not a well-liked guy.
Oh, I'm aware of this.
not a well-liked guy.
I am born and raised in Spokane.
Yeah, remember,
I'm a GU lover.
Remember, he was on the sideline for a couple of games.
I know this.
Yeah, it's not a well-liked guy.
But that's what I mean, though. Even if you found somebody who's been established for a long time that's got a lot of wins, they're all just as dirty, or they haven't won a natty, so their voice doesn't resonate long enough.
Honestly,
like Scott Drew, maybe the one guy. Matt Painter would be great, but never won anything. Yeah. So it's like, easy for you to say you've never won anything. But what's his butt down at Florida? There's a lot of creepiness going around that guy.
Golden?
Yeah, Golden. Yeah, like, I don't know if I buy that. But even if it were, what's his name, who had George Mason and then took the Miami job, who just retired recently.
Oh, yeah.
Or what's his butt, who was at Florida State? I'm clearly not in college basketball form right now. Those are guys that I would listen to, but they never won anything.
No.
So they just doesn't hang. The problem is the only guys that have won something that can speak out for it.
They all manipulated it.
And that's why we'll flip to college football right now. We'll have a new national championship coach.
Ooh.
For the first time in a long time. Well, I guess Day was new last year, but it didn't feel like it because of Ohio State. Let's get back into college football. We were right. We told you. We told you. We'll get to that next in the Big Nooner, 105.1 The Fan.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.